Cole keeps the puck in on the near side. Joshua in the corner lets it go for Garland. Centers, Lindholm, scores! Elias Lindholm! 62 seconds into overtime, and the Canucks have done it!
Well, that sucked. That sucked. Predators dropped games 3 and 4, and the real heartbreaker where we're starting today is a 4-3 overtime loss to the Vancouver Canucks in game 4. D-Mace is so mad he has to put his sunglasses on.
This is how I feel right now. I can't even let people see my eyes.
Shades on, haters out.
Gosh, that, I mean, now I know. Now I know how the Buffalo Bill fans felt when they lost in the Music City Miracle. Now I know how they felt. Now I know how the Los Angeles Lakers felt when Denver came back and beat them. Not this past game, but the game before, when they were up like 8 points with 2 minutes left.
This is how Falcons fans felt.
This is how Falcons fans. I know how the New York, I know how the Philadelphia 76er fans felt when it was less than a minute left and y'all were up 8 points and y'all lost. Now I know how they feel, because I felt that exact same way. I'm sitting in my house. I'm enjoying. I'm having fun. I'm watching the game. And they lose. And they didn't just lose, because they were up pretty much the whole game with the exception of the first goal. They were up. I was happy. I felt good. It was Sunday. The sun was shining. The sun was shining on Bridgestone. The gold was out, even though one of the refs did call it yellow, but it's gold. Gold was out. I was feeling good. I was so prepared to come on this show and just rave about UC and Novak and Forsberg and Yossi and everybody. And with 3 minutes left, it all started to go down the drain. Down the drain. I know they're upset. I know they got to be upset, because I was genuinely, and I haven't been genuinely pissed off about a sporting event in a very long time. I was genuinely pissed off last night. Like, I was mad at everybody. I was mad at every single person on the Predator team. Every single person. I was mad at the fans. I was just mad. I was mad at myself for believing. Like, I was mad at myself for this reason. Because I know how sports can change at a dime.
Yeah.
Ask the Atlanta Falcons. They lost the Super Bowl because it changed at a dime. I know how sports change. I've been a part of stuff like that. But yet and still, all of me inside was like, we got this. With 3 minutes left, we got this. So much so, I'm just enjoying myself. And I got let down. I'm sure I felt like other Nashville Predator fans. I'm sure I felt like everybody in that building. I felt like just crying.
That, I mean, I, at the end of that game,
man,
I stood up and I just kind of like looked around. I didn't know quite what to do with myself. I was in a sheer state of shock, because when you're up 3-1 for a majority of the third period at home against a third string goalie, nonetheless, you expect to close that game out. And when the Canucks scored to make it 3-2, I thought, I don't like this. Mm-mm. I don't like how this feels. It felt like the Predators, once the Vancouver Canucks scored that goal to you know, at least cut the Predators' lead 3-2, I felt like everybody tightened up. I felt like they started to play, not to win, but to not lose. That's how it felt, that everybody was just getting all tense, and they let the Canucks come right back in. Snatch defeat from the jaws of victory is really what it felt like. Because blowing a 3-1 lead in the third period against a third-string goalie is really unacceptable, period. But especially in the Stanley Cup playoffs, when every possession is of the utmost importance, when getting a lead, a two-goal lead nonetheless, in this series, when it should feel comfortable but it doesn't, when you have opportunities like that to be able to completely change the trajectory of the series, because if the Predators were able to close it out, even at just 3-2, even if they were able to win in overtime, well, the series is tied up 2-2 and you go back to Vancouver and you're feeling pretty good about yourself because you just played your two best games of the series. Because I believe that. I felt like the Predators were playing their best hockey in games three and four. But instead, you're down 3-1. And really, D-Mace, it feels over. It's not over. I know it's not. And I know that there's all the optimists out there that can look at it with the glass half full and say, all you have to do is just win three more games. That it's not over until it's over. It's not over until the Canucks win their fourth game. But it feels over.
It does.
It was debilitating, demoralizing, and disappointing yesterday.
All the three Ds. You know, it's... I'm looking at this, and you're up 3-1 in the third period. And then they score two unanswered goals, just flat out score two unanswered goals. And I do believe what you said. Once they scored that second goal to make it 3-2, it seemed like everybody, seemed like things just got tense.
A little panic.
For the Nashville Predators. And I know that, and I'm sure the other shows have talked about this, I know that it wasn't Sisson's fault. I get that. But you couldn't have asked for an easier goal. That's your job. I can't do it. I damn sure I can't do it. But that's like having a, that's like beating a defensive back and you have a step on him. And the ball's right there, like just over your shoulder, over your left shoulder, nice. Go right over the left shoulder, and it hits your hands and you drop it. It may not have lost you the game, but you sure enough could have put it away. You were up 14-7. You catch that with a minute left, you put the game away. Mm-hmm. But now it's fourth down, now you got to punt. And you punt and they run a return back and they tie the game. That's how it felt with me. Colton Sissons had a great opportunity, and I know he's still thinking about that today.
Oh, that's gonna haunt him still, for a long time.
He will, if they end up losing this series, he will believe in his mind, even though it's not true. He will believe in his mind he's the reason why they lost that series, because when you're in a situation like that as an athlete, you got a chance, an opportunity to put a game away or go up, and you don't do it. And even though it might have been a difficult task or play or whatnot, and you were up already, if you end up losing a game, you put that on you, because you always look back and say, had I caught that pass and scored, we would have won. I know we were up, but had I caught that pass and scored, we would have won. Same thing for Colton Sissons. I know we were up. I know it was late in the game, but had I scored that goal, none of that would have been attainable. Them winning, scoring the last goal, it wouldn't have been attainable, because now we would have been up 4-2 with less than a minute left. Well, I think it was like a minute and something seconds left. But it happened. So I'm sure he, more than anybody else, is feeling the brunt of that loss. And again, it wasn't necessarily his fault. But when you have an opportunity like that to score, that's an easy goal for it. I don't care what anybody tells me. I've never played hockey, but I play professional sports and things like that. That's what you get paid to do. That's why you're in this league, because they believe you could. Those are routine plays for you. No one can tell me that wasn't a routine play, because you're a professional and you've done it before and they're paying you handsomely. Those are routine plays. You got to make them. I'm not sitting here trying to get on him, because I know he feels worse than anybody
totally. Right
now, because he believed had he scored that goal, they would have never went into overtime. Those are plays he has to make. You're a professional. Those are routine plays. Mm-hmm. For me, that's not a routine play. For somebody else, that's not a routine play. But you, Colton Sissons, that was a routine play. And you did not take advantage of an opportunity you had to put the game away. It wasn't your fault they lost, or y'all lost, but you had an opportunity to put it away, and they wouldn't even been in that situation.
Yeah, I can't say that Colton Sissons was the reason why the Preds lost that game, because there's a laundry list of things that the Predators could have done better, flubs and mistakes that they made throughout that game. But you can it's easy to look back and point to that one specific moment when you felt like you could have just completely put the game away. It was an empty net opportunity, and you hit the crossbar. Like, you just hit the
post. I thought it went in.
You hit the post, and it was whenever they replayed it.
Did it hit the inside of the post or, like, the outer part of the post? Because it looked like it went in. I thought it went in.
It hit I don't know if it was the inside or the outside of the post. I can pull up the clip, but it hit right on the post. And that doink, I'm sure, is just going to haunt him for the foreseeable future. And I'm sure Colton Sissons feels like it was my fault. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he feels that way. I don't feel that way. And Andrew Burnett was asked about it after the game last night, about the Colton Sissons missed opportunity. And really, like, we can look back at that and say, you make that goal. And we're talking about a series that's 2-2, more than likely. But this is what Andrew Burnett said after the game.
You say anything to him, you know, about the situation near the end? Do you have to pat him on the back, anything like that?
You know, I think that's a hard play. I mean, you're on your back end and, you know, you try to make the play, didn't go in. That wasn't the issue. The issue was a little bit the first goal and then the second goal are the two big issues.
Yeah, so when he looks at it and he says, look, I can't. Mm-hmm. When I look back on that game, reason 1A why we lost it wasn't because Colton Sissons missed an empty netter. Mm-hmm. It feels like a missed opportunity, but there are so many other reasons why the Predators lost that game last night. And I hear all of these things, like the Predators have been the better team consistently throughout the series 5-on-5. I've heard, you know, last night the Predators were the better team for 55 minutes. Well, you don't play hockey 5-on-5 for the entirety of the game. And you don't play hockey for 55 minutes. You play it for 60. And you played it in overtime last night, so 60-plus. So, yeah, I could say the Predators were the better team 5-on-5 for 55 minutes last night. But it was the 5 minutes at the end of the game that blew it. Just like it was 12 seconds was all it took in game one to just blow a game away that you probably were the better team. And you were probably the better team in game three, at least 5-on-5. But it was the two power play goals that you gave up that were the difference. And last night, you were probably the better team for 55 minutes. But you don't play hockey for 55 minutes. It was the mistakes and this complete defensive breakdowns last night that lost you the game. And that's all it takes in the Stanley Cup playoffs is a razor-thin margin or one mistake here or there or one missed opportunity here and there. Because it wasn't just Colton Sissons that missed a goal opportunity. Ryan O'Reilly had a wide-open net, and he just missed it. Like, we could go back to all of these different instances. You know, the face-offs. Did the Predators win a face-off last night?
Like, I'm not
maybe
sure.
Maybe a couple?
It may have, but it didn't seem like it.
It didn't seem like it. At least that's how it felt. Is you can break down the numbers and, you know, the actual time of possession, but the way that it felt was that the Predators didn't win a face-off, and it just felt like they were constantly trying to keep up. But then you look at the numbers of shots last night, outshot them 30-20. And game three, outshot Vancouver 32-12. And he couldn't find a way to win. Where game two, the Predators probably had no business winning that game in game two. They did not play well. They got totally outshot, but they found a way to win. Games three and four, I think they were the better team overall, at least for 5-on-5, and they couldn't find a way to win. And it's those frustrating mistakes and those frustrating little things that just continue to add up. And now you're on the wrong side of 3-1.
If you were to sort of look at all four of these games and you watch all four of them consecutively, like just sit down and watch all four of them. Out of the 240 minutes, I would say the Predators dominated or won over 190 minutes of the game.
I can't say they dominated.
Not dominated.
I would say they won.
Like, they had the upper hand. It was, to me, it was lopsided. They had to upper. Now, the second game, you know, you can kind of say, well, they stole that game, which they did. And I think Vancouver stole the first game. So you look at this, and this is the frustrating and disappointing part about it. Because if you look at it, the Nashville Predators seem to have played the better game or the better series. They seem to have played the better series up until now. But playing a better series up until now doesn't amount to you winning or being up in the series because you chose to, or you couldn't for 12 seconds in one game and 3 to 4 minutes in the other. So you're talking about 3 minutes and 12 seconds. You couldn't do the things necessary to maintain. It's not even come back and win the game. It's keep a lead.
Yeah.
You had a lead. And for 3 minutes or 4 minutes and 12 seconds, you did everything you possibly could to lose the game, and you did. What happened in overtime? What in the hell happened in overtime?
Complete breakdown.
That is inexcusable, what happened in overtime. It was like y'all lost. Y'all let them tie the game, or they took it in regulation to send it in overtime. Mm-hmm. And it's like after they did that, y'all just lost it all. It didn't seem like the minute they went into overtime and the minute they put that puck on the ice for the faceoff, there was something that I felt. I'm like, this they lost the game already.
Once it went to OT,
they lost it, because when you're up that much, it's demoralizing. Mm-hmm. The way it ended, like those last 3 minutes, it's demoralizing. And they never could recapture what they had prior to that 3 minutes. They could never recapture that intensity that they had, where they were dominating the game. They were winning on a lot of fronts. They were winning. When they allowed Vancouver to come back in overtime, they lost. You saw it. They lost it all.
Yeah.
There was nothing there. It was like they essentially lost in regulation.
Yeah.
They just had to go into overtime, but they lost in regulation.
That's what, because it felt like.
Yeah, because that goal was too quick, and it was like they didn't even have to work for the goal. A guy sitting there right in front of the net with nobody there.
It was a clear breakdown of miscommunication.
Exactly. Who's like who? Where were the guys at?
See, and that I think is probably the most frustrating thing to me is. We talked about this from the very beginning, that they were going to win or lose this series because of the veterans, mm-hmm. because of the guys that carried them there. Forsberg, Josi, Nyquist, O'Reilly, McDonough, Saros. And I missed one, let me know. But this team was going to live or die by the veterans. And yeah, you need more from Tommy Novak. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Dante Fabro can't draw an icing call like that he did last night that just ended up leading to a Canucks goal. But you weren't going to win or lose this series because of what Tommy Novak or Dante Fabro was going to do. But what lost you that game last night in overtime was mistakes by the veterans. And you cannot have mistakes like that from your guys that have been around, the quote-unquote serial winners. You're not going to win games like that. And that's what the Canucks have gotten. Like, mm-hmm. they were going to win and lose games because of what Brock Besser did. Well, Brock Besser had a hat trick yesterday. You know, if anyone has a hat trick, that team's going to win that game, right? So don't you think you maybe pay a little bit more attention to Brock Besser? Maybe have a body on him? Maybe you got a body on Elias Lindholm in overtime? I don't know. That was the frustrating thing to me. I can live with the young guys uh-huh. making mistakes that cost you games. Does that suck? Yeah, absolutely it does. But you can chalk it up to these are young and inexperienced players. But what I can't live with is Josi and Ryan O'Reilly making mistakes that cost you games. That doesn't sit right with me. But we're going to catch up with Robbie Stanley here in just a bit. But before we do that, I want to get into some of your reaction. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tristan's on the line with a thought on the Preds. Go ahead, Tristan.
Yes, I think the Preds season has done extremely well. We weren't expected to make to the playoffs this year because of, like, all the moves we made, so I'd give this an A. I mean, like, I know it's disappointing, but that's my take. And my other take is the NFL draft, like the Titans, like all the moves. I like Travion Sweat. Sorry to get into the NFL, but and I like Jalen Harrell from Michigan, and the defensive back from who's 6'4", 200 pounds from Miami. And I like the guy we signed, Johnson, the running back from Washington who played at Mississippi State, and the tight end from Iowa State that we signed as a free agent.
Yeah, thanks, Tristan. Yeah, all great points.
And here's the last player, Brian Dooley, who gave up his scholarship the offensive line from Eastern Michigan, which was like, you should get him on air to talk about that. That's a great, tremendous story.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Tristan. Appreciate you for calling in. We'll continue to get into some Titans moves. We'll recap the draft, our thoughts on that. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show. But to Tristan's point about, you know, the Preds weren't even supposed to be here, I'm sorry, but I don't want to hear that right now.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that either. That's neither here nor there. They're here.
They're here. And you know, they've had opportunities that they've just blown.
Exactly. It's like you can't say, well, I wasn't supposed to be here or I wasn't supposed to do this or do that. Well, you're doing it. So now you can't give me this, I wasn't supposed to. No, you're doing it. You're doing well. So forget all the rest of the stuff. Yeah, we said long time ago, before the playoffs even start, there was many. Nobody believed that the Predators would make the playoff because they felt like they were in a rebuilding state.
Yeah.
Now, whatever you want to call it, would be a try to rebuild, a trotsification, whatever.
Retool,
whatever you want to call it. You're absolutely right. They were. But they showed everybody that they were a playoff team. They showed everybody that they can be just about anybody. No, they can be anybody in the National Hockey League. They proved that to us. I don't want to hear well, we weren't supposed to be. And I respect our callers for that are going to say that.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to prescribe to that. They're here. Don't tell me what you're supposed to do. You're here now. You had opportunity to be up 3-1. Hell, matter of fact, you may have had an opportunity to sweep this series. But you didn't. And I'm being dead honest.
Yeah.
But you didn't. Why? Because for some reason, you lost sight of what was going on, and you allow a very good Vancouver team to come back and show you why they were one of the teams with over 100 points. They were one of the best teams in the National Hockey League. You allowed them to come back.
Yeah.
So don't give me that. They're not supposed. They weren't supposed to be here. They're here.
Vancouver's a good enough team that if you give them an inch, they're going to take a mile.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what they did yesterday. And when you look at the grand scheme of the entirety of the season, going all the way back to Barry Trotz getting hired and Anna Brunette getting hired, they tempered the expectations of be patient with us. So if you want to look at a 360-foot view of the season, yeah, it's a success.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that Andrew Brunette should be a finalist for the Jack Adams Trophy. I think that they're that you would call this season a success.
Mm-hmm.
Were they supposed to be here? No one picked them to be here, and they are. But if you just focus in on the individual games and the playoff series as a whole, that's where the frustration comes of the opportunities that have just been missed. And the irony of the Predators winning the only game in the series that they have won is really the worst that they've played. So just a couple of things that you're able to clear up in Games 3 and Game 4. Maybe you're talking about 3-1 heading back to Vancouver. Instead, it's completely flipped. All right, I do want to get back into your phones on this. I see your phone calls, and we'll get back into those. But first, we'll catch up with Robbie Stanley. We'll get his perspective on the game last night. And overall, yeah, there are a lot of, you know, ways that you could pick this series apart and say, you know, the Predators should have won this, Predators should have won that. But what is the reason why, or the reasons why, we now find ourselves here on the wrong end of 3-1 heading back to Vancouver for Game 5? We will get into that with Robbie Stanley coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Predators fall in a heartbreaking fashion, 4-3 in overtime last night. They now find themselves down 3-1, Game 5 in Vancouver tomorrow night. Another late putt drop, so get your coffee in tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, yeah, tomorrow night, whatever you have to do to keep yourself up. But yesterday, it was an absolute bummer. You know, vibes were good. Will Levis took a snap from Lloyd Cushenberry, the catfish snap. Taylor Lewan was chugging beers, and the vibes were good on Sunday, but Predators ultimately blow a 3-1 lead, ultimately fall 4-3 in overtime. Joining us now to break it all down is Robbie Stanley. You can find him every single morning from 6 to 9 a.m. on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game on Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie, I hear a lot of people saying, well, you know, the Predators have been the better team on five in the most part. The Predators were the better team for 55 minutes yesterday. Well, you don't play hockey 5-on-5 in its entirety. You don't play hockey for 55 minutes a game. So if you had to point to the reason or reasons why the Preds now find themselves down 3-1 in the series, what would it be?
Well, I think Vancouver has some superstar players making superstar plays at the big moment, in big moments, and the Predators don't have enough of that, right? I mean, JT Miller, I think, has been outstanding for Vancouver all series long. And the two games that they played on the road here in Nashville, it was Brock Besser. Like, Brock Besser scored four goals in those two games, including three yesterday. And he finds a way to just get loose, create some soft ice there. And for whatever reason, yesterday, the Predators were just content with kind of leaving him alone. And you can't do that in the playoffs. You have to find a way to get a body on him. And look, I know the last two goals that they gave up yesterday in regulation were 6-on-5, and it wasn't from, you know, a lack of effort or anything like that. You had Roman Josi kind of selling out the block shot on the final goal there in regulation. And then there was just a total brain lapse and defensive breakdown on the goal in overtime, where you're leaving somebody alone in the middle of the ice in front of the slot, where they haven't even done that for the most part all series long. So, you know, it's amazing to me. I think the Predators, the game that they have played the worst in this series so far is the one that they've won. And the others have been, I think, pretty good for the most part, especially the two at home. But at the end of the day, the only thing anybody cares about is whether you won or you lost. Mm-hmm. And the Predators, despite playing well for the last two games here, find themselves on the brink of elimination.
And that's exactly what we were talking about the last segment. And look, outshooting Vancouver is great and all, but if you can't outscore Vancouver, you're not going to win games, especially in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Things get a little bit weird. You bring up superstars making superstar plays. We haven't seen enough of that from Roman Josi, from, you know, Philip Forsberg got his goal yesterday, nice little kick-in goal. But really, for the most part, the Predators' star players haven't been making star plays. And another player that I haven't really seen do much of anything is Tommy Novak. If you are Andrew Brunette, if you are coaching this Predators team, do you make a couple of lineup changes going into Game 5?
I thought they should have took Novak out before last game. I mean, he's been totally ineffective. It's not just that he's been ineffective. He's been downright bad, in my opinion, in this series. And, you know, I realize Vancouver, particularly the size that they have, is not a great matchup for Tommy Novak. Novak really has never been a very good player in his own end. He's not a defensive player. He's not very strong in his own end. But you live with that because of some of the plays and the natural skill that he can bring to the table offensively. Well, that skill it's hard to come by in this series just because it's a very heavy series. It's very difficult to get to the middle of the ice. And I think he has been a detriment to them in this series. So, honestly, I was kind of expecting Brunette to scratch him yesterday heading into the game. He had some pretty strong comments on Novak on Saturday about how he's waiting around. And this time of the year, you can't wait. You've got to initiate. And I thought we could see maybe a Cody Glass, but I was kind of leaning more towards Juuso Parsonen yesterday just because of the size that he brings to the table along with the skill level. So I would make that change. I would go with a Parsonen tomorrow in the lineup over Novak. Do I think that'll actually happen? Probably not. I think you'll probably see the same lineup because I do think the Predators deep down are happy for the most part with what they've played in the last couple of games here, but Novak has been a total non-factor in this series, and that's been really disappointing to see.
We're on the phone with Robbie Stanley discussing the Nashville Predators. You can catch Robbie and Joe from 6 to 9 on these airwaves on 102.5 The Game. Now, Robbie, I look at this series from this standpoint. This should be a 3-1 series the other way. Now, you can give Vancouver the third game. They pretty much, you know, they were putting it on the Predators, you know. But I think the other three games, Nashville pretty much, they were up in majority of these games heading into the last period. Do you think they can overcome some of the mistakes that they've made? Because as we know, majority of these games, they play well. It hasn't been flawless, but it just seems like toward the end of each game or the point in the game where they just – I don't want to sit here and say they lose focus, but that's what it seems like, Robbie. So do you think this thing is – do you think they can come back from a 3-1 deficit?
I do not. I think last night is the type of game that you lose that's not an official series clincher,
But doesn't it kind of feel like it? Like, mm-hmm. doesn't last night's game and the way that you lost the game kind of feel like it's over? And look, I expect the Predators in Game 5, whatever they've got left in the tank, I expect them to empty it out. I mean, there's a lot of prideful guys in that locker room. I don't think that the Predators are just going to waltz into Vancouver and lay down and get run over in Game 5. But now you've got to win three games in a row to win the series. Two of them are coming in Vancouver. And, oh, by the way, if you win Game 5, there's a five-hour trip back to Nashville and then another five-hour trip back to Vancouver after that in order to do it. It's just it's a lot to ask for this Predators team. So, D-Mace, it's amazing to me. I mean, think about what a four-minute stretch of play has done to this series. Had they held on last night, we'd be talking about they evened it up 2-2. They've been the better team in the last two games. Vancouver's dealing with injury problems. They're on their third goaltender. And I think most people would feel great about the Predators and their chances to close this thing out. And you have a four-minute lapse where you just let things totally get away from you, and it feels like the series is over. That's how thin the margin is mm-hmm. in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, you're right. And what add insult to injuries, what you just said. They've been through three goalies in a playoff series. You would think if your first goalie goes down, who's awesome, you go to your second goalie, the odds of you winning diminishes. And then you go to your third goalie, it's basically, you know, at the bottom. But they found a way to pull it out, and that's the frustrating part about it, is that you're going against their backup goalie. And I understand the guy's an NHL player, so, you know, he can play. But it's your third goalie, a guy that didn't expect to play, and y'all still couldn't get enough shots on this goalie to cause him to sort of get outside of his game. More importantly, you look at that overtime, and you know, who are you? Because I don't know who to blame for this one, if there's anybody to blame. What happened on that last goal? Because again, it seems like there was a miscommunication. You had two guys going to the boards to get the puck, which left nobody in front of the net. That was a major, just major blunder.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it seems like there was a pretty clear miscommunication between Philip Forsberg and Ryan O'Reilly, and Lindholm was wide open in the middle of the ice, and he had McDonough and Shen behind the net. McDonough was trying to close off Dakota Joshua along the wall. Shen was coming down to Garland to prevent him from wheeling around the net, and Lindholm was just standing there wide open in the middle of the ice. I mean, he could have pitched a tent in the middle of the ice. He was so wide open. And you saw Ryan O'Reilly kind of swing around and start heading toward the right circle there, and Forsberg was up trying to cover the point, and neither one of them covered the man in the middle. And it's a really tough spot to have a mental breakdown like that, obviously. D-Mace, I think what hurts worse mm-hmm. is you're talking about guys that have played a ton of hockey and a ton of postseason hockey. Like, they've been in huge moments before. It would be one thing if, like, a Spencer Stastny or a Luke Evangelista made mistakes like that. I mean, they're rookies. They're young players. But you're talking about guys that have played at a high level, done a whole lot of winning before, and really just had a mental lapse at the worst possible time. And that to me, I think, is what makes it hurt even more, is the way you lost the game. It was with a lot of your veteran players out there just making mistakes, and mistakes that you just simply cannot have this time of year.
How do you think UC played yesterday? Obviously, you know, that last goal there's not much he can do but just try to be tall and wide in the net, because that's straight on right at you. But how do you think Nusi has played in net this series?
Yeah, it's interesting, because if you look at the numbers, they're horrible. I mean, he's got an .857 save percentage, which is just brutal. It's not good. Now, that's a four-game sample size. Mm-hmm. Save percentage is more of a stat that you pay attention to over the long haul of an 82-game season and in a playoff run if you get deep. I don't think UC Saros has been some gigantic problem in this series, but I also don't think he's been the solution. And if you're paying him the amount of money you're paying him, and certainly if you're going to pay him the amount of money that they might have to pay him should they decide to sign him to a new contract, you need him to be the solution. He can't just be okay. And I think he's been okay so far in this series. So Look, I said this heading into the series. We talked about it on Robbie and Rex Road. I mean, I think a lot of the decision that Barry Trotz is going to make, not all of it, but a lot, is going to come down to this postseason and the way that Saros plays. And I think he's been fine at times. I thought he was excellent in game two. He's made some big saves in the series. He made some big saves early in the game yesterday. But overall, the numbers are not great. And I think there have been too many times where there have been chances for him to bail you out with a save, and he's not quite done it. And look, the Predators have left him in some vulnerable spots defensively at times in this series. So again, it's not all on him. I don't think that he's been massively bad, but you want an elite goaltender and a guy like Saros to step up and make some saves that he really has no business making. And for the most part, he's not really doing that in this series right now.
Look, I think Barry Trotz's decision should be partially influenced by what happens in the playoffs, because what you do in the playoffs matters. Big money players make big plays when it matters most in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Robbie Stanley is with us. Robbie, I've seen so much commentary from Predators fans. Fire Andrew Brunette. Like, okay, calm down, everybody. Take a chill pill. And I'm not going to place 100% total and complete blame on Andrew Brunette. But one question that I do have for Andrew Brunette is the fact that he is some sort of power play guru, and the Predators are 1-for-15 on the power play in the playoffs. Power play looked better in the latter half of the season, but they can't shoot the puck. They can't get the puck out of their own zone, even in the power play. Well, how would you diagnose this power play, and where would you rank it on the, you know, the list of reasons why the Predators now find themselves down 3-1 in the series?
Well, it's a big problem. I thought particularly in Game 3, when you had three opportunities in the first period to convert and you couldn't get any of those to go for you, I thought that was a big missed opportunity for the Predators. They didn't really spend a ton of time on the power play yesterday. It was more of an even strength game. But no question about it, Caroline, when you're 1-of-15 in the series, that's, you can't win that way. And, you know, the power play is not everything when it comes to this time of the year, but you do need it to score some big opportunistic goals for you. And remember, I think the first power play of the series they had, they scored. That means they've gone 14 in a row without scoring on the power play. And, you know, if there's one thing that I'm noticing on it right now, a couple things. Number one, they're losing too many faceoffs on the power play. So every time you lose a faceoff and it gets cleared down the other way, that's 20, 25 seconds that are burned up right there. They're having a tough time getting established and getting set up after they lose those faceoffs. And I do think there have been times where they've been too passive and they're looking too much for that perfect play rather than sometimes just taking the simple play, putting the puck on net, trying to create some havoc, get to the inside and seeing what you can do from there. And look, I do think Vancouver deserves some credit, because those guys have stepped up in a big way on the penalty kill, and they've got some huge players that are really difficult to deal with when it comes to, you know, in close, tight quarters, battles for the puck that way. So Vancouver does deserve credit for what they're doing on the penalty kill, but I do think the Predators at times have been way too passive on the power play in this series.
Robbie Stanley, host of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Robbie, is there a game in Nashville on Friday?
I say no. I think the Predators are going to empty the barrel, but I think Vancouver, quite frankly, played about as bad as you're going to see them play the last two games here in Nashville. I think they're going to be fired up. I think they're going to be ready to go. The home crowd's going to be rocking. And I think Vancouver, more than anything, they really don't want to get on a plane back here to Nashville. And I think Vancouver finds a way to win in Game 5 and close this thing out.
Kind of feels that way. Gentlemen sweep, if you will. Robbie, appreciate your time. Thanks for stopping by. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, y'all. Appreciate you having me.
All right. Appreciate it, Robbie. Robbie Stanley, host of Robbie and Rex Road. I feel the same way, unfortunately. But hey, you never know.
I'm having just a tad. I got hope. I got just a tad bit.
The still Fat there. Lady has not sung yet.
No. Nope, nope, nope. So there's still a hope. The Cleveland Cavaliers were down 3-1 in a series, and they came back. But they had LeBron and Kyrie.
I said they had LeBron.
Yeah.
Can Philip Forsberg and Yossi be the LeBron and Kyrie of the Nashville Predators? We'll see.
We shall see. And we will get right back into your phones on this coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Your reaction to the Predators' absolute heartbreaker of a loss last night. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. Preds fall in absolutely heartbreaking fashion, 4-3 in overtime last night. I still think I'm Still trying to process it all. And I can't say this definitively because, you know, I've only been here for 3 years. But I can say that that was probably the most heartbreaking Predators loss that I have seen since I've been in Nashville. And I can say definitively for myself that that was one of the more heartbreaking finishes of any game that I have ever watched. Like, 28-3 has got to take the top spot for me. And I'm not even a Falcons nor a Patriots fan. It's just heartbreaking in general to lose a Super Bowl in that fashion. But when you have a 3-1 lead going into the third period with an opportunity to tie things up going back to Vancouver in Game 5, that's a heartbreaker.
Yeah, it was a heartbreaker. I'm sure. I know it was a heartbreaker for the fans. You can just, I mean, you could just see their faces after the goal that tied the game. And then you saw their faces after the overtime goal. And it was demoralizing. It was the win, the air got taken out of the arena when they tied the game and sent it into overtime. And neither the crowd, and more importantly, the team could never overcome that last goal.
Yeah, that's kind of what it felt like. And I want to get right into your thoughts and reaction to the Predators' loss last night. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Eric is on the line with a Preds thought. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, guys, people know me. I'm not a hardcore hockey fan because I'm basically a pro football fan, guys. And listen, I was pulling for the Predators because I said, when I called in Friday, I said, go Predators because I want them to win. But, guys, I mean, there's just no other way to say this. I don't know if anybody said this earlier on your show or early in the morning, but I got to say it. They choked. You cannot, under any circumstances, lose a game like that. I could forgive what happened Friday, but the fact that you had a 3-1 lead with just under 3 minutes to go, you give up that goal, and I said, okay. Then give up another goal with 8 seconds left to go, and guys, I wasn't cussing, but I was definitely screaming at the TV. I said, I cannot believe this. And I bet you a lot of fans were probably cursing after that happened. And then just a minute to go into overtime, just barely over a minute, you give up another goal. They basically gave up 3 goals and spent basically at an average of about a goal a minute.
Yeah.
That can't happen under any circumstances. And the fact that you have a second and the third goalie, they're not playing with their starting goal contender, and that happens. That's unacceptable. And I agree, it's not over, but here's the thing. You blow a 3-1 lead and lose 4-3, and basically what you're having to now say is you got to hope Vancouver blows a 3-1 lead for us to come back and win this series, which I just don't see happening, guys. I would love to see it. I'm just, you know, just my heart sank for all the Predators fans, but guys, just simply put, they choked, and there's just no other way around that. Guys, I'll get off. Y'all take care, and we'll talk again soon.
Appreciate you, Eric. It's true. They blew it.
I can't disagree with Eric.
They totally and completely blew it. They had that game won. All they needed to do was to just hold on, just maintain. And you could say, well, all Colton Sissons needed to do was put the puck in the empty net. And I get that, too. That's absolutely part of the story. But they blew it. They totally and completely blew it. They had a golden opportunity. Pooped it away.
And, I mean, you can't say it no other way. And I'm sure the team feels, and you know, the players in the locker room, they feel that same way, that we blew an opportunity to not only tie the series, but potentially, you know, win the series. Because you look at it from this standpoint, they've already went through two goalies, and they're on their third goalie. You win this game. Say you end the game, win it 3-1. Now there's uneasiness in that locker room. There's, you know, this question, can we really do it? You know, almost like I could see if they had their starting goalie and they would have been down 3-1, there's still a thought in their mind like, okay, we can do it. We got Demko. We can do it. But they're down in their third goalie. You beat them. You put them in a situation like, can we honestly win this series without third string goal? You put them in that position.
You've given them hope.
Yeah. Now what you've given them hope. I don't care who they put in that next game. They got enough confidence. You know what they're saying to themselves? I'm going to tell you what they're saying. What every team in professional sports say. You know what they say? What teams like Nashville Predators? Don't worry about it. Let's just stay in the game because they'll find a way to mess it up. They'll find a way to give us the game. Don't worry about it. Let's just stay close. Keep playing hard. Don't give up. Keep playing hard. Even if the score is 3-0 going into the third period, don't give up. Why? Because they're going to mess it up. They are going to mess it up. The pressure is going to be on them to stop us from scoring. And as we have seen, they can't do it. They're going to mess it up. So just play your game. Stay with what we're saying. Stay with the game plan, because eventually the Nashville Predators will give us the game. They will F it up, basically. That's what it is, because that's what they've done. You can call it choking. You can call it whatever you want to. But Vancouver's sitting at home and said, don't worry about it. Even if we down 3-1, don't worry about it, because they're going to do something to mess it up. And we're going to get back in the game.
Felt like they were playing scared in the final few minutes of that game. And what we saw from the Predators in that final stretch of the season, I guess the second half of the season, it was the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Don't count the Preds out.
Exactly.
Relentless. That's been the motto of this team all season long. Nick, at the game on Friday, was even wearing a hat that said relentless.
I bought a hat, and I was like, oh, this is awesome. We're going to do this thing. And
they didn't look very relentless in the third period or in overtime yesterday.
Nope.
They just felt like they weren't confident.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a 3-1 lead in the third period, you should have all the confidence in your corner. Want to get into one very quick thought before we break here. Bicycle Boy's on the line. Go ahead, Bicycle Boy, quickly.
Hey, I'll try to make it quick, Caroline. I know you guys, by the way, Caroline, my take on the Walrus goalies the other day, in no way was I saying Soros was a bad goalie, just commenting on the trend. But here's my comment. Superstars, doesn't matter if you're Peyton Manning, doesn't matter who it is, superstars make mistakes. Last night, Josi made a mistake with, I think it was less than 15 seconds. He gets the puck in the corner. He should have tied the puck up. Typically, that'll draw one or two of the opposing team players, maybe another of our players. They scrum around in there. They battle for the puck. Instead, he fires the puck around to the opposite side, probably thinking he's going to clear the puck. But when they pulled the goalie, they got a sixth guy out there who's covering that. And that defenseman on the far side intercepted that attempt to clear, and that's what started the sequence where they scored. So, unfortunately, that's where I'm going. But listen, social media was all, oh, the series is over. Oh, we've totally effed it up. No, we haven't. It ain't over till the big lady sings.
Thank you for your call, Bicycle
Boy.
Well,
I'm glad Bicycle Boy is optimistic.
I don't share that same optimism, frankly. Like
I want to. I really do. I want to share it.
The way the game ended last night obviously was a heartbreaker, but just the fact that it ended that way, period, that you just lost, that is really what it is for me, because I went into that game pregame on Sunday. I told the person I was watching it with, I said, look, if they lose this game, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see them winning three games in a row the way that everything has been so tight through four games, or at least through three games at that point. But it has continued to stay that tight through four games. I don't see the Preds winning three games in a row, but I agree. Roman Josi can't make mistakes like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, coming up next, we're going to transition into some Titans talk. Finished up the draft over the weekend. Titans draft Tavondre Sweat, the defensive tackle out of Texas, with a 38th pick. There's been a mixed bag of reaction of that pick. The player's history, where they took that player, sticking at 38. We'll give our thoughts on that. The Titans draft class as a whole, and looking into a deep dive of the first two picks. We'll get into that coming up next. We'll continue to get into your phones throughout the remainder of the show. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.